Good morning, church. It's great to see you today. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's certainly been a great start to our morning having Bible class. And then, of course, we've been able to have a great period of fellowship. And we've been in here now singing songs of praise to God and appreciate all those who have had a part in our worship today. And I'm thankful, as Justin mentioned, for our visitors who are here, for our members who are here, for those who have tuned in online. But today is a special day for one of our youngest, I literally mean youngest among us. He hasn't been in this world too long, but today's very first worship service for Braxton Edward. Braxton is here, Nicole's baby. And I haven't held too many up here that have been much younger than him, if at all. So can we get Braxton up here and let everybody see this good-looking fella? I'm a little nervous. Wow. He's like a baby doll. Look at this guy. Those lights are bright, huh, buddy? Goodness. Nicole, we are so proud that you've got him here. He was in Sunday school with us this morning, too, by the way. So that's pretty impressive. How old is he now?
10 days.
10 days old. He was in Sunday school this morning. So some of y'all need to get right church. Amen. That's right. They didn't applaud as loud when I did. No, I'm just kidding. Michelle and I were a newly dating couple, and it was the dog days of July. She never knows I'm going to tell stories like this. It was at least 125 degrees, it felt like, that day. And I was heading to College Bound with Michelle at Faulkner University. And we turned off of 65 onto 85. Michelle was driving because I was filling out some paperwork. And some sweet soul had left a 4x4 in the middle of the interstate. And Michelle hit it. Instantly, it blew her back rear tire out on her car. So, we've got to get off. There's an exit there. And next time you go by that exit, I want you to look how big that hill is. As I had to push that car to stable ground of that hill. And then I had to change the tire. Again, it's on that asphalt at least, 120-something degrees it feels like. And as I get the car jacked up, get the little, the little Mickey Mouse stuff to change the tires with on these things. I get the lug wrench out and I go to break loose that tire. The sweet souls who had put it on had done it with an impact wrench and they had tightened it so tight that I didn't think I was going to be able to get it off. Long and short of it, I did. Got to College Bound, etc. But here's the point. They had left their mark with their impact. All these times later, I remember that they left their mark. What mark are we leaving with our impact? You see, last Monday, Jeff mentioned, we were able to come up here and celebrate a life about a man who left an impact. What impact are we leaving? When I think about my life and I think about your life, but especially I think about my life because it's my life who I've got to stand before God. But we think about our lives and Jesus Christ has called us to that judgment seat. And He's either going to say, well done, or depart from me. If He says, well done, then what do I know? I've left an impact on this world. I made a decision for me, which impacted my wife, which impacted my children, which impacted others surrounding me, because I decided to follow Jesus Christ, I left a mark. The question is, are you leaving that mark? Are we making that difference? We're talking about Elevate this year. And as George and I talked about some topics along the way, I was looking through that list and impact was one of them. And it just so happens, of all the events that happened, that I felt like this was the time for us to decide here in the last few moments of the month of June, the 6 month part of the year, the halfway part of this year, as we enter this second half, what are you doing? What am I doing to change the world for Jesus Christ? It's a question that seems like it ought to be a question that is easily asked, but sometimes we avoid it because we may not want to know what the answer is. Jesus called us to be different. He said, in a dark world, you be the light. In a world that's lost its seasoning, you be the salt. In a world that doesn't represent anything but evil and sin and glorify sin, He said, you represent the King by being an ambassador. If I'm not the light of the world, if I blend in with my work friends or my school friends who are worldly people, if I am not salting this unseasoned, unpreserved name, then I'm not making an impact. If I am glorifying sin and glorifying the devil, then I am not representing the King. You see, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, and He is the Lord of my life, then we have power, resources, and everything we need to live a life of impact on this earth. You can enjoy life. You can have life. And you can enjoy it and have it more abundantly. If you haven't yet turned your life from sin, and you haven't accepted a new life in Jesus by being baptized into Him, then we got to change that today. But if there are those of us that have obey Jesus and have accepted that new life, that free gift of God, but since then, our lights have become dim. Our fire has burned low. Our representation of the good of Jesus Christ has turned towards the south and it's becoming bad. Then we have to open our eyes by opening our Word and looking at what God wants us to do. Turn in your Bibles today to our text, please. It's going to be 1 Peter chapter 2, the first few verses of this. It is our responsibility to change our life. God does the changing. But it's our responsibility to accept the gift. You see, right now, we have a moment in time where we can change, where we can make an impact. It doesn't have to be with our dollars, but it's got to be an impact. It can be with our mouths. It can be with our lives. It can be with our lights. It can be being the salt of the earth. But we've got to make a difference. I believe if you surveyed the crowd today, everybody would want to make a difference. They would want to make an impact. But sometimes the world gets in the way. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" You see, there are going to be those who go to work tomorrow and do everything you've got to do to get ahead in life. I don't know what ahead is in life. I know that those who have dollars in the bank want more dollars. Those who have hundreds of dollars want thousands. Those who have thousands wants tens of thousands. Tens of thousands wants millions. And we could go on and on. So what is ahead? I don't know what ahead is, but I know what a great investment is. The best investment we can make is not to just seek the dollar. It would be to seek Jesus Christ first. 1 Peter chapter 2, read along with me, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the Scriptures, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation." This is a lesson that writes itself. I have no more notes on my notepad because all the text we need is written right before us. You see, the beautiful thing about it is God did not say, "Go make an impact, go make a difference," and not give us a path to follow. No, He gave us the formula. And this is just one of the sections of Scriptures that we could pick out. But I want you to think about the author, Peter. What did Peter do? He messed up. He struggled. He spoke too soon. He acted too soon. He stuck his foot in his mouth. He denied Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, he woke up. And he left a legacy. He made a difference. Peter didn't leave his family, I'm guessing, millions of dollars, as we would call it today. He was a fisherman. He was a minister. He was an elder. But he left his family a legacy. He left his brothers and sisters, you and me, a great hero to pattern our lives after. Why? Because he made an impact on the kingdom of God. You and I can make that impact. So what do we need to do? The first thing we see in Scripture, beginning in verse 1, we've got to lay aside. What did he say? He said, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil all evil speaking. Let's break that down. What is malice? Malice is having that intense anger built up, right? That you want to harm somebody, that you want to hurt somebody. Today, if that's the way I live my life, and let me tell you, when I was a child, I'm making confession now, had anger sharks swimming in my head. All the time I would fly into a fit of rage because I would get mad and I would just want to hurt, and even especially my brothers who were causing most of that. We get along very well today, but I was just angry all the time. And I can remember my grandmother, as I was spending the night with her, one time I would have been mad at my cousin or somebody and I remember her saying, "Son, if you don't learn to control that temper, you're going to get in trouble." Fortunately, God's taken that away from me. Do I still get upset at things? Certainly. Do I still get angry? Certainly. But that just rage all the time, it's gone. But some of our anger sharks haven't left us. Some people may still have that. Tomorrow you go to work, you just wake up angry. And you go and you get mad at everybody and you say things you shouldn't say and you do things. That kind of stuff, if we're going to make a positive impact, got to leave us. We got to lay it aside. He also said deceit. We cannot be people of lies. We cannot be people of manipulation. Do you know how many couples I counsel with that the big underlying problem, besides their not putting Jesus where He needs to be in their family, and this is a result of it, is they manipulate one another. They try to say things to make the other one feel guilty, or they deceive them, or they're not always truthful. They tell just enough truth to make them believe it, but it's really just a lie. A little bit of lie is a lie, okay? He said, lay that aside. Hypocrisy. We've got to be real people. Hey, baby. We've got to be real people. She said, hey, T, if those who didn't hear. We've got to be not fake. We can't be fake. He said, lay aside. I'm just going through his list here. Envy. Listen, there are people that have much nicer things than me. But I can't envy that. I can't let that control my life. And then he said, all evil speaking. And that's self-explanatory. I told you this lesson's self-explanatory, but here, that's not all, right? The other things we have to lay aside if I'm going to make an impact. The things which so easily trap me. The things which so easily ensnare me. This is the Hebrew writer, right? He said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Lay aside whatever's trapping you today. I don't know what it is. Just like you may not know what it is that's trapping me. What the devil's putting in my cage to trap me, right? That bait he's throwing in there. But he knows what it is. You know what it is. Today's the day to lay it aside. If it's caught me, then I've got to let it go. And I've got to put it away. Why? Because I've got to run the race. I can't be weighed down by sin. I can't be weighed down by malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, all the other things that can weigh me down. I'm already slow enough. If I'm going to run a race, I don't need anything to weigh me down. If you're going to make an impact, if I'm going to make an impact, what is stopping me? If I'm not doing it right now, what's stopping me? Whatever's stopping you, whatever's stopping me today, as Peter said, we got to put it away. But that's not all he said, is it? He goes on to say, if you look at the next part of it, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I was talking to Nicole right after Bible class this morning, and she said, Braxton wants to eat every 2 hours. You know why? Because that he desires that milk. He desires those nutrients. His body's growing. When you get up in the morning, and I'm probably not talking to the generation who are more mature here. probably talking to the generation that's, you know, a little not quite as mature as some of our other members here, but a little bit lower and down. What's the first thing we do when we get up? Most people just check this, right? Hey, it's my alarm anyhow, so I'm going to see how many messages or whatever I missed. Or maybe I'm going to go in there and I'm going to check Facebook. I'm going to check Instagram, Twitter, fill in the blank. I'm going to do some searching today or whatever because I can't wait to check out what's going on in everybody else's life. I can't wait to Facebook stalk people and see what's going on and da-da-da-da-da. But what we should desire the most is the Word of God. We can argue that, but it'd be a failed argument. Because He said, lay aside it all as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. Once I get rid of the junk, if I want to make an impact and elevate my impact in life, I've got to desire God's Word. I've got to desire it. If that desire is not there, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's in the way. Something's filling that space. You know what I'm talking about when that baby sees that bottle coming and their little legs are kicking, their hands are kicking, they're excited, they're talking, they're cooing, they're everything. What happens? They try to get their little hands on it and their eyes cross. Right? They're like that. Why? Because that bottle's the most important thing in their life. We need to get cross-eyed. And I'm talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. That needs to be the most important thing in my life. If the cross of Christ is not... And listen, a lot of people will say it. A lot of people will say, God is the most important thing in my life. Jesus is the most important thing in my life. And then you look at the results of it and you say, that's not true. You see, the facts reveal it to be true. It's not a judgment, right? If I miss every Sunday and I miss every Wednesday and I come here once in a blue moon and I read my Bible, but maybe when we're at church, I follow along. I pray, you know, when I need something or what have you, and then I get disappointed in God when He doesn't give it to me because, man, I prayed about it, God. Then it's not a judgment to say that person is not cross-eyed. The Word of God, we've got to desire it. Sometimes, let's be real, it's an acquired taste. If you're getting up and reading the book of Leviticus every day, it's no secret it is my least favorite book of all of them. But I still read it. Because the rest of it has become my desire. You got to acquire it. You've got to get in the habit of it. I can't harp on it enough. If we do not read the Word of God, we will perish. That's biblical. And if you say, well, that kind of scares me. Okay. Paul said, by the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Read your Bibles. Get in the book. I promise you, I'm going to be in the book. I promise you, I'm going to be in it. There are moments when I forget, yesterday, worked different places all day. I remembered late last night, I really wanted to go to sleep. But for me, I need to do it every day. So I put my headphones on and I listen to it. Why? Because I need that. That may not be the way it works for you, but it's the way it works for me. But you've got to desire the Word. If you do not desire the Word, then you are not growing and making an impact like you ought to be. Now, we can argue that. Again, it'll be a losing argument. There's too much evidence to show it. Thirdly, it's about making an impact, right? Thirdly, I love this part. We must be living stones. Let's go back through 4 through 8. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed." I love the phrase, "you also a living stone." Now, you go outside and you pick up a rock, and well, that rock doesn't have a pulse. It doesn't have a heartbeat. But neither did those bones when Ezekiel preached to them. He said, God, that is, "Ezekiel, can these bones live?" I mean, we kind of know what Ezekiel was thinking, but what would you think? I mean, just to go to a graveyard, and again, it was an open grave, and there were just a bunch of bones scattered in there. Can these bones live? My thought would be like, no. But see, with God, all things are possible. He said, preach to them. And the more he preached, the more alive they came. Until they were an army of people. Can these rocks live? You see, without Jesus Christ, I'm dead. Oh no, I may be walking, I may be talking, but spiritually, I'm dead. But the more Jesus that I have in me, the more I lay aside the filth and I desire the milk, the more I love Jesus Christ and desire Jesus Christ and accept Jesus Christ and live for Jesus Christ, the more alive I become. You see, He is alive. It's our anthem, right? Our God, He is alive. Jesus Christ is not in a grave, dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God. I kind of hope He's standing up right now. But He's seated at the right hand of God on high, in heaven above, in the throne room. And He is the chief cornerstone. He is the firm foundation. And we are part of His kingdom. But I can't be a part of His kingdom if I am dead spiritually. So I can't just be some other rock. Oh no, I've got to be special. Now there's nothing special about me ordinarily. But with Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference. The prodigal son, I know y'all been talking about it in the fellowship hall class. I'll go back and listen to the conclusion today. I heard the introduction. It was great, Jason. But in the prodigal son, what did he say? The son, the prodigal son, the worldly son, the wasteful son, the one who left home, the selfish one, the pig pen son. He rehearsed that speech and he's like, I'm going home to be a servant. And he gets there and his father says, he hears none of it. He says, no, 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 go kill the fatted calf because we're celebrating today. He said, hey, here's this robe. Here's this ownership ring. Here's these new sandals. Your feet are worn out. Why are we celebrating? Because my son, who was dead, is alive again. At our funerals, you don't want the preacher to say, Well, he was a dead stone. No, we want to be alive. We want to be that living stone that's a part of the firm foundation and kingdom of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. So let's recap for a moment. We got to lay aside the filth. We got to desire the milk that'll make us living stones as part of the kingdom. And then we got to remember, we're chosen. Look at verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, and now have obtained mercy. Everybody likes to be picked. I thought Coach Cottrell did this really well the other day. For the summer, we have, every now and again, he'll break up the monotony and the kids can play. It's basically touch football, but he calls it razzle-dazzle football, and there's a bunch of little different rules to it. And we have a lot of fun with that, especially after they've had a lot of camps, a lot of hard work, and all that. So he had a draft. He had four teams, and he had a draft. Well, guess who's going first? All the fast guys. All the real athletic guys. The guys that can get the ball in their hands, and they can beat that defensive back, and they can score. So Coach Cottrell recognized that, and he said, stop. From now on, you got to pick linemen. So those old linemen wouldn't be picked last. Right? And you can just see their faces lit up. Because they're sitting there thinking, well, we're going to be picked last. Why? Because they're not the super athletic ones. They're not the ones that's going to outrun everybody. But they were a valuable part. Some of you today may feel like those linemen. You may feel like you don't have a part. You may feel like, hey, what's my worth? Hey, I'm not good for anything. Nobody's going to choose me. Nobody's going to pick me. Oh, yeah, God did. God picked you. And He picked me, a wretch, a sinner, scum, Barabbas. We walk free. He walks to the cross. But are we living that way? Are we living today knowing that I was chosen by God to be His own special people, to be a royal priesthood? You see, when I lay aside the filth and I desire the Word and I become that living stone and I realize I'm chosen by God, then I ought to be leaving an impact. I ought to be making a difference. But some people don't live their lives that way. We don't live our lives knowing that God selected me. There's some people in here that do not have confidence, that do not have a desire to be an impact. And a lot of that is because you don't feel special. But I'm going to read that one more time. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. So what do? We put it all together. We lay aside the filth. We desire the milk. We become that living stone because we're chosen by God. We got to make an impact. Let's close out with verses 11 and 12. So is our scripture reading today as well. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which would be filthy, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. I love the way he worded this here. The way I would word it is make a difference. Make an impact. But here's what he said. He said, hey, you're a sojourner. You're a visitor. You're a foreigner. This place you're living in, this worldly place, you're just visiting. When you are chosen by God because you're that living stone, because you desire the milk, because you've laid aside the filth, he said, you are making a difference. You're visiting in this world. But then he goes on to say this, and I thought it was neat. Let your conduct be worthy. Because you're living in a Gentile nation. Remember the Gentiles, again, I'm thankful that the Gentiles were grafted in, but these are not Gentile Christians, okay? These are just worldly people they're surrounded with. He said, when you see those Gentiles and you're around those Gentiles, let your conduct be what it needs to be. Because what will happen is they'll recognize it. They'll observe it. Isn't that us today? You see, tomorrow, those who are going out to camp today, you know you have an opportunity to make an impact. And you will. I know you will. Because you decided to give up a week of vacation, a week of comfort, and you're going out there to plant the seeds of Jesus Christ in these children. But not everybody can do that. But tomorrow, you'll have an opportunity. I don't know where that opportunity will be. Maybe it'll be at work. Maybe it'll be with your neighbor. Maybe it'll be with somebody in your family. I don't know where it will be. I don't know when it will be, exactly what time it will be. But sometime this week, we will have an opportunity to leave a mark just like that impact gun left a mark with me. What will we choose to do? Maybe there'll be some dirty jokes told. And I'll have an opportunity to stand up. Maybe there'll be some workers who are not talking the way they should. And I'll have an opportunity to stand up. Maybe somebody will come to me and desire to know more about Jesus Christ. I could clam up or I can speak up. Here's what I know. At the end of the day, the three denials did not define Peter. Jesus said, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. Nah, not me. If I have to die with you, I'll never deny you. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Cock-a-doodle-doo. He blew his chance to make an impact on that occasion. But it didn't define him. Jesus then went on to say, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. From that point forward, Peter made an impact. Today, maybe you've been in denial. Maybe you've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And you've denied, 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 and failed, failed, failed. Don't let that define you. We have an opportunity right now to right those wrongs. To make a difference. To change the world. But I've got to lay aside the filth. I've got to desire the milk, the Word of God. I've got to be a living stone. And I've got to remember I'm chosen by God. Today, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, don't leave here without doing it. Today, if you've not righted your wrongs and gotten back on track, don't leave here without changing it. If you have a need, there's an opportunity. There's an invitation. We invite you to come right now together. We stand and sing.